Hi, Matt here. Before we get started, two quick opportunities for us to interact. This Thursday, February 26th at 8 a.m. Pacific, I'm hosting an AMA, Ask Matt Anything, in our Think Fast, Talk Smart learning community. I'd love to see you there. And also, don't forget to take advantage of our Valentine's Day free Coach Matt AI offering. Join our learning community at fastersmarter.io/learning. Now, a word from one of our sponsors. Their support allows us to bring you quality content free of charge. Hi, Matt here. I recently have done some international travel, and I'm always amazed when people can speak the language of the country they're visiting. So for my upcoming trip, I'll be using Babbel, my go-to app for science-backed language learning. Babbel lets me practice real-life conversation, step-by-step, without the stress. It helps me build the confidence to speak up when it matters, from ordering a coffee or chatting with new friends. However you learn best, by listening, speaking, reading, or writing, Babbel adapts to your style and keeps you motivated with personalized learning plans, real-time feedback, and progress tracking. Right now, Babbel is offering up to 55% off your subscription at babbel.com/TFTS. That's Babbel, Babbel.com/TFTS to get up to 55% off. Rules and restrictions may apply. The best way to navigate the most challenging communication situations we face is to be crisp, concise, and clear on the needs of our audience. My name is Matt Abrahams, and I teach strategic communication at Stanford Graduate School of Business. Welcome to Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Today, I'm excited to speak with and learn from Dr. Anthony Fauci, one of the world's leading experts in infectious diseases and public health. Many of us became aware of Dr. Fauci's expertise and experience through his active role managing the response to the COVID pandemic. He recently released the book, Expect the Unexpected, 10 Lessons on Truth, Service, and the Way Forward, which shares insights on effective communication and leadership during crises. Dr. Fauci, thank you so much for being here. I'm very excited for our conversation.
My pleasure. Good to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
Great. Shall we get started?
Sure. Let's get started.
In your role, you have often had to communicate in uncertain and evolving situations. How do you approach communicating confidently when the facts are still uncertain?
What I try to do, hopefully most of the time successfully, is to let the audience know my recommendations or my guidelines that we're referring to are based on the information that we know at the time. But you must emphasize as firmly as you give the data that this could change. And science is a self-correcting process. You've got to let the audience know that the information you have today will inform a recommendation of today. But we must make sure we understand that as information changes, the self-correcting nature of science would require that you change your recommendation.
Right. So give a caveat up front that what you're saying is based on the best knowledge of the moment, but things will change.
Exactly.
Excellent. Trust is so critical in high stakes communication like you have done for so many years. What strategies have you used to build and maintain trust with the audiences you speak to, especially when conveying difficult or unpopular information?
Yeah. Well, one is to be totally transparent into what you know and what you don't know. What the difference of a statement based on data, evidence, information that is documented versus a statement that you have to make that is really based on a conjecture and say, you know, we think it is this way, but we don't know for sure. You cannot act confident in something that is in fact not based on solid data. Whereas when the data is solid, you can say with a good deal of confidence that this is what the evidence shows and this is what our recommendation or our guideline is. It's just transparency, honesty, and a little bit of humility to let the audience know that you don't know everything. And there are a lot of things that are evolving before you, and you'll just give the information as it becomes available to you.
There's a certain amount of vulnerability that comes with that, putting yourself out there and saying, hey, this is what I know. I'm working on the best information I have. But that transparency can breed that trust, as you've talked about. Your audiences have ranged from scientists to policymakers to the general public. How do you think about making your messages accessible to everyone at all the different levels of expertise and detail that they need to do their jobs well?
Well, it's a balance. So if you know what your audience is, I mean, there are two issues that are, I think, baked into your question. There is an audience that is somewhat of a homogeneous audience. So my first rule is, whenever you're getting up in front of an audience in which it isn't a mixed audience, make sure you know who your audience is. If you're talking to a group of scientists, that's different than talking to a group of lay people who really don't have much experience in science. If you're talking to a group of high school students, is different than talking to a group of people in an elderly nursing home. There really is a big difference there. However, when you're talking to a group that's mixed, where you have people of various levels of understanding, experience, and interest, that's where you got to walk a bit of a tightrope and not to simplify too much, nor make it too detailed that you lose the simplicity and the clarity of what you're trying to say. So whenever I get to the point of getting ready to address an audience, I try to figure out what kind of an audience is and direct it to that audience. And if it's a mixed audience, always try to get a delicate balance of getting to as many people in the audience as you possibly can.
So taking time to reflect on who the audience is and then thinking about how to adjust and adapt your material to make it accessible to them. I'd like to push just a little bit to know if there's specific techniques you found very helpful. So for example, I like to use analogies, comparisons between things that people know, and maybe use that as a bridge to help them understand the things I'm trying to get them to know. Are there specific tools you found helpful in explaining some of the complex ideas you have to get across?
One of them is to give a concrete example that anyone can understand. That really simplifies the message that you're trying to get. The other is, don't get too many messages gobbled up at the same time. I know when you're in front of an audience, you'd like to make five separate points. My rule is, besides first knowing your audience, the second rule, very close to that, is decide what your message is and make it a crisp, clear message. Often scientists fall into the problem of trying to get too many points across in too detailed a way. Make it as simple and crisp as possible. You don't have to get 20 points across in a discussion. Settle for one or two.
Right. So it's about prioritization and being very concrete and specific, and that can help. You know, many of us get nervous in high stakes situations. I can imagine no higher stakes situations than some you've been in. What techniques do you use to remain calm, composed, and clear-headed when delivering these really critical messages?
Well, you have to train yourself for that. It's the same thing. I mean, I remember the first time I addressed an audience of multiple thousands of people. I just told myself, you've really got to talk yourself into not getting intimidated by the setting or the environment that you're in. And the more you do that, the easier it is. You know, when I was in front of a television camera, you shouldn't be saying, oh my God, there's millions of people watching. You're saying, I'm talking to an interviewer and he or she is the only one that is listening to me. If you start getting intimidated by the potential size or importance of your audience, you might wind up concentrating too much on that and forgetting what your real message that you're trying to deliver is.
There are two techniques there that I think are really important. One is to focus on the message and value you're bringing, because that's what's the most important. And then second, see these circumstances as conversations rather than broadcasts to hundreds or thousands of people. It's really a conversation with the interviewer, as you said, or the 10 people I know in the room of 1,000.
Right.
And that approach can really help it be more comfortable for you.
Indeed.
You know, you've dealt with a significant amount of misinformation throughout your career. How do you effectively address misinformation without amplifying it or alienating those who espouse it?
Yeah, I have a simple rule to that. The best way to counter misinformation and disinformation is not trying to confront it as misinformation and disinformation, but as I say, to flood the system with correct information. And I think that's one of the problems in today's world of social media. The people who are spreading misinformation and disinformation tend to be very energetic about it. In fact, even more energetic than the people who are just essentially giving good, sound, evidence-based information. So don't try to correct all the misinformation. Just be very positive about correct information.
So lean into what's correct and not worry about combating all of the misinformation.
Yeah, because you can get into a rabbit hole
right
every 10 minutes when you do that.
For sure. I have been impressed as somebody who has watched you speak, as many of us have, in different modalities on television, read your writings, etc. You do an amazing job of speaking impromptu in the moment. When people ask you questions, the questions are well answered. When you're asked to share thoughts about something, you do it very well. How do you think about, I'm going to ask you to get a little meta here. How do you think about that speaking in the moment? Are there things you do to help you respond well when put on the spot like that?
Yeah, Matt, it again relates to some of the things we've already spoken about.
Sure.
And it really is an issue of simplicity. When someone asks you a question, go right to the core of what your message is going to be. Don't give a big introduction. As they often say in journalism, don't bury the message.
Right.
Just make the message really, really clear. Don't give an introduction that's longer than what the actual message is. That's what I try to do. I try to answer people's question. I believe been successful in that. When I hear people being interviewed or discussing with someone, when they get asked a question, somehow or other, they get distracted and don't answer the question. If someone right. asks you a question, answer the question. Don't give a harangue about something else. Just answer the question. When you do that, it becomes very simple.
It sounds like what you're doing first, though, is you're listening intently to understand what's needed in that moment, what the real question is, and then you think to yourself, here's my answer. So it's really about bottom lining the question or the ask of you.
That's a very good point, Matt, because sometimes, in fact, maybe more often than not, people don't ask crisp questions. They meld in a comment with part of a question, but the real question. So what you've got to learn to do is to dissect out what their real question is and answer it. Because often the questioner is pretty confused themselves in what the question is that they're right. asking you. And that could lead you into really a gobbled response. So what you want to do is make your decision of what exactly is the question that that person is asking me.
Right. And so you help them focus, but you also help yourself focus.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's
yeah.
really important.
And you might even like to say before you start, instead of just jumping into the answer, saying, I'm assuming that the core of your question is, and right. then make it very clear so that when other people are listening, they can be guided into the fact that your answer is matched to the question that was asked.
Right. And so you're doing double service there. You're not only answering the question, you're serving up a good framing of the actual asking.
Yeah, you're clarifying their question for them.
Some of your interactions have gotten contentious. What do you do and what do you recommend to manage conflict and dial down intense emotions?
I just think it's a general rule. Don't get taken up in the emotion of a discussion. You've got to be as cold as ice. I mean, you can be a little animated because it's an interesting discussion. Don't get angry, number one. Some people sometimes try to be comedic about it. Don't be joking about it. Be serious but pleasant about it. And don't take the bait of someone that's trying to instigate a bit of an argument. It takes two to argue. So if you're not really wanting to argue, you're wanting to just get information across, don't take the bait of somebody that's trying to provoke you to get into an argument.
So stay calm and stay focused and don't jump in to the conflict.
That's correct.
We'll be right back to finish our conversation. But first, we're going to take a quick break for a message from our sponsors. These sponsorships support the cost of making our show, allowing us to bring it to you free of charge. Hi, Matt here. Career coaching often comes through our workplaces, which can be a great starting point. But sometimes you want space to focus on your priorities, not your organization's. That's where Strawberry.me comes in. It's career coaching you choose for yourself. You answer a few quick questions, get matched with a vetted coach, and in many cases, you can start within 24 hours. You choose the coach, you decide the goal, and you get to talk honestly about what actually matters, whether that's a promotion, a pivot, burnout, or even leaving. There's no HR involved, no performance review lens, and if it's not the right fit, you can switch coaches. What I appreciate is the sense of agency. When you're feeling stuck, waiting rarely helps. If you've been thinking something needs to change, you don't need permission to explore that. Go to strawberry.me/TFTS. It's coaching focused on you. Think of it as therapy for your career.
So Dr. Fauci, before we end, I like to ask three questions of all my guests. One I make up just for you, and then the other two are consistent across all of the guests. Are you open to that?
Sure.
So in your latest book, you talk about 10 lessons on truth, service, and the way forward. I'm curious if you could share one of those 10 lessons that has surprised you in terms of how people have responded to it.
One of the lessons in my field that I think is always the number one lesson to be learned, including the challenges that we face with emerging and re-emerging infections, which has been an area that I have been intensively involved in, is that is to expect the unexpected. Don't get surprised by something that would set you aback and shock you. Expect that when you're in a field like I am in, where you're talking about the emergence of infections, the emergence of potential pandemics, always be on a tune where you're really expecting something that is very, very unusual. To me, that is one of the first rules that I say in my lessons that you're referring to.
Yeah, and I think that goes for people who aren't infectious disease experts. I think all of us in the work we do can be thinking about the fact that unexpected things will happen and not to be surprised by that and perhaps do some things to prepare for it in the future. Second question, who is a communicator that you admire and why?
Well, the communicator that I admired the most was a good friend of mine who actually passed away prematurely, Paul Farmer, who was a hero in public health. The way he could articulate the need for equal accessibility to health care of people who are less privileged, he was a master at making that point. And I've always tried to emulate him in not only in his principles of parity and equity, but the way he communicated it to me was just highly effective.
In terms of just, it was clear and crisp, it was easily repeatable and memorable. What were some of the elements that made that way?
Well, it was very sincere, and you could tell it was coming from his heart as well as his head. And he was very firm and very committed to that. And it became very clear that although he was a gentle man and said it in a gentle way, he was very firm about it. And that to me was a very effective communication.
So somebody who had strong convictions was able to be compassionate, but also firm in the positioning. Final question, and I know we've talked about some of these already, but I'll let you revisit them. What are the first three ingredients that go into a successful communication recipe?
The first ingredient, as I mentioned, is know your audience.
Yep.
The second ingredient is have a clear understanding of what your message is. And you should have a very crisp, ungarbled message. And three, don't try to say too many things at the same time. Say simple and stay streamlined.
You did an excellent job of repeating some of the themes that you brought up earlier. You did so in a very clear, simple, streamlined way, and I appreciate it. Dr. Fauci, thank you for all that you have done for population of the U.S. and the world. Thank you for your time today sharing insights into communication. All of us can benefit by focusing on our audience, making sure we prioritize in a crisp way our messages, and really deliver these messages in a way that connect and resonate with those we're speaking to. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure, Matt. Thank you. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. This episode was produced by Jenny Luna, Michael Riley, and me, Matt Abrahams. Our music is from Floyd Wonder. Please find us on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe and rate us. Also, follow us on LinkedIn and Instagram. And check out fastersmarter.io for deep dive videos, English language learning content, and our newsletter.
Hi, Matt here. I can't believe that this month is the 6-year anniversary of Think Fast, Talk Smart's launch. As we start the new year, we're excited to bring you even more ways to learn, practice, and grow your communication and career skills. We'll now be releasing 8 episodes a month, coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. For those of you who like to watch your podcasts, we are now posting full video versions of each episode on both Spotify and YouTube. We're moving to a weekly email that shares specifics about the current week's shows and previews what's coming in the future. If you're not subscribed yet, head to fastersmarter.io and hit subscribe. When you do, you'll also start getting our monthly newsletter. Fastersmarter.io is also the place to go for transcripts and show notes for each episode. And under the resources menu, you can find English language learning content for each episode. Speaking of languages, I'm excited to share that a Hindi version of the show is now available. You can get access to our extended Deep Thinks episodes and listen ad-free by subscribing on Apple, Spotify, or at fastersmarter.io/premium. I'd love for you to join us on our Think Fast, Talk Smart learning community, where people from all over the globe are coming together to develop and hone their career and communication skills by taking asynchronous lessons, participating in learning quests, enjoying live author book talks, and getting individual guidance from my AI coach at fastersmarter.io/learning. Be sure to look at our social media channels for our video shorts, frameworks, infographics, and protocols. You can also help us by giving us a 5-star rating and positive review. 2026 is going to be a great year for becoming more confident, clear, and compelling in your communication and career. As always, thank you for your support, and thank you for listening.